do they? Christians don't believe in luck. Are you with me? As Christians, we are blessed. We don't do luck. We don't do luck. No, we are blessed. And we don't do coincidences. No, in our vocabulary, that's missing. Someone will say, Gilson has lost it. No, I haven't lost it. If I've lost it, pick it up. Why am I saying so? Because everything that happens in your life, God has planned it. Do you agree with me? So there's no coincidence. This morning, this passage I'm going to preach to you from, I've been considering for a long time to want to preach about God's holiness. And I haven't had the opportunity. But the series that we are following in our in my sermons actually brought this to me in this text in Isaiah 6, where God's holiness is brought bare. So, as I was considering looking at this message, I said to myself, I've seen this message several times, but it never dawned in my mind. This is what it is speaking about. But in my preparation, as I was reading this passage to myself, a voice came to me saying, don't be afraid. Isaiah could have been a prophet, but don't forget, he is a mere mortal like you. In that I got confidence within myself, because I was sort of jittery. Looking at this message, I came up with that theme. Consider God's holiness. Simple. Consider God's holiness. Today, I want to remind each and everyone of you here that this text in Isaiah 6 speaks about God's holiness. God's holiness is great. You read that Hebrew text I read to you this morning, that live at peace with each and everyone. It's amounting to holiness. Without holiness, you cannot see God. So holiness is very important. Paul encouraged his protege Timothy by saying this, flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. So this morning, you must be calling this God with a pure heart. We are not coming here to socialize in the church. This is a holy place. The holiness of God fills this place. This is not a social club, guys. We are coming here because God is here. His holiness covers the whole earth. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Was this passage only speaking to Isaiah, or is also speaking to you this morning? This passage must also be speaking to you, because God is holy. His holiness covers the whole world. But sometimes, because we've been coming to church for so many years, or the rest of our lives, this passage skips over us, because we've seen it several times. The holiness of God is in that verse. Holiness of God is in that text. As we consider holiness, have you ever thought of what Moses went through when he came to that sea without any hope? Hope was lost when he was facing the Red Sea. But the holiness of God just opened those waters and the Israelites went through. What about the Israelites when they were in bondage? They had lost hope. But God remembered them and he said to Moses, I've heard my people crying. Go and rescue them. Bringing the Israelites out of that bondage. God's holiness covers this world. What is holiness? What is holiness? Scholars among us here, I'm asking you, what is holiness? What is holiness? Hear what one of you said. One scholar puts it this way. The classic understanding of holiness is found in Leviticus 19. What does it say? You shall be holy, for I am holy, so says God. This scholar goes on to say, God's holiness may be said to be rooted in two great creative acts. The separation of light from darkness. That's God's holiness. according to this scholar. And then the separation of bondage of the Israelites from the Egyptians. That's God's holiness. The parting of the Red Sea that I've already told you about. It's God's holiness. Recently, Jenny and myself were flying to Italy as we were in the airplane because we were flying during the day. I looked through the window. Oh boy, what did I see? A range of mountains filled with ice. God's holiness. It's there within us, but sometimes we miss it because it's day-to-day living. So we think, oh, well, I've seen this before. God's holiness is amongst us, but we miss it. I want to remind you one thing. The holiness of God is rooted in Him because God is holy Himself. He doesn't make it up or work for it. He's holy. So holiness is of God. That's why He said, be holy, for I am holy. So, if I put this question to you, I know sometimes some of you struggle to get the words when I speak them. Now I think you understand what holiness is all about. God is holy. Yes. As we go on together, let's consider this holiness passage by, word by word as it was in those days of Isaiah as he was explaining. When we encounter the holiness of God, wait for a little bit. Consider those words as they come to you. What does it mean? This holiness. Am I living as a holy person? Am I pursuing that righteousness? As Timothy was being told by Paul, pursue righteousness. Forsake all those youthful desires. I know young people like going out, especially Friday nights. You know, it's a blessing that when we do street patrolling, I haven't come along a 70-year-old or a 60-year-old of my age, you know. They are all young people. So when you mature, some of these youthful desires just disappear naturally. Am I right? So maintain that. That pleases God. Not that I'm against young people when you go for your night outing. No. Yeah, it's part of growing up. But when you get to my 60-year-old group, you know, some of these things just die off, you know. One of my family members said, oh, this 60-year-old group has brought trouble for us. Because every now and then I'm mentioning it, you know. Whenever something happens, no, not for us who are 60-year-old, you know, this is not for us. So, I love God because He has given me that edge. You know, I was looking back to some of my colleagues that I grew up with. The mortality, life mortality in Zimbabwe is very small. If you hit 59, God will have blessed you. Now to hit 60, I'm glad. Right, we're going back to our passage in Isaiah. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw. Now we stop and ask ourselves. So before, people couldn't see what was happening. It's only now when King Uzziah died. You might not be aware, the presence of the holiness of God was always there. Sometimes we miss it because our agendas are different from God's agenda. Now Isaiah says, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw. In that passage we read. What did he see? Isaiah is fixing his eyes on the glory of God because in that day, in the temple, he saw the glory of God. So he fixed his eyes on the glory of God. Why now, after the death of King Uzziah? There are two different things here. One, King Uzziah failed to see the glory of God during his days. Also, during the life of King Uzziah, Isaiah didn't see the glory of God. But only this year, when the king had died. The Old Testament has got a story in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16 to 22, about King Uzziah. To start with his kingdom, he was a good king. But as he went along, he became stubborn. Where is the stubbornness? That story says he went into the temple. He's not a priest. He's a king. But he wanted to put everything in his hands. He went into the temple to burn incense. And a group of priests went there in to stop him and said, no, you are not a priest. This is left for priests. You are a king. He disobeyed God. And the story says, lepros came on his forehead. After that, he lived in isolation. Because when you've got lepros, you don't come in public, isn't it? Until he died, he had lepros. So disobeying God has got consequences. So if God is saying to you, be holy, and you disobey him, beware the Ides of March. You might have leprosy and you live in isolation. So you might as well maintain your holiness if you don't want to have leprosy. So Isaiah says, I saw the glory of God. It's in that passage. The temple was full of the glory of God. But we come to church every time. We come to church every Sunday. We miss the glory of God in the church. Where we come, we are used to this church. Even if I ask you in the middle of your dream, where is the exit at your church? You can tell me without even being prompted. We are used to this church, but we miss the glory of God in this church. God's holiness fills this place. Isaiah says, in that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on his throne. God is always on his throne, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't move away from it. He's always there. But we miss it because our agendas are different from what God wants us to know. Today, I want to tell you, God's holiness fills this place. Isaiah goes on to say, on that day, he saw the train of that robe filling the church. I was thinking of years ago, I think I was still, I can't remember how old I was. Those of you in this country, you remember Princess Diana's wedding? Some of us were watching on television, looking at the train of her gown. Boy, that was magnificent and beautiful. That short speed piece. But here Isaiah is seeing one that is filling the whole temple. Imagine. The train of the robe of God was filling the whole church. When you see that, I will say to you, consider God's holiness. Imagine the gown, the train of that gown of God filling this whole church. Don't limit it to the church. Filling the whole world. Because we say that verse earlier on, that the glory of God filled the whole earth. If you are missing out, I ask you to ask this guy Isaiah. He will tell you. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Right now, it's filling this place. In verse 2, it says, above him were seraphims. These are the angelic beings that dwell in the presence of God. The seraphims are described as servants standing before the Lord, standing before their master, ready to do their tasks. Are you ready to do those tasks yourself? Are you ready? The seraphims are ready to do that. One author writes, they seemed to Isaiah like huge flames, but in reality, he experienced their burning ministry. It's not about their wings that were surprising them. It's not about that burning flame around the glory of God, but it's about the ministry that brings it with them. It says they had six wings. Others were covering the eyes. You know why they were covering eyes? You cannot look at God and survive. So hence these wings were closing the eyes. And the ears were not closed. The ears were open to hear what your master is saying. So even this morning when you come before the glory of God, remember to keep your ears open. God is going to say something to you. He wants you to do something. Are you going to listen as God is speaking to you? Take action and do something. Don't sit on those hands. Don't sit on those wings. Use those wings to fly, to take the message to the next person. Are you ready? God is asking, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? We might actually be in a position of saying, King, you say I was wrong. Why did he do that? You know, I always want to say to myself, I like my forefinger when it's pointing at other people. But from today onwards, I want to teach you something new. Don't use your forefinger. Before you point your finger at someone, look at your profile yourself. How is your profile matching the accusation you are pointing at King Uzziah? King Uzziah missed the glory of God. What about you? Have you looked at your profile? How have you also missed the glory of God? Though you've been coming to church so many years. Is your profile matching your four fingers pointing? If I were you, stop using your forefinger. You better wink your eye when you're pointing something. If you're like Dorita, use your walking stick to point. Dorita always wants to use a walking stick, but sometimes she uses it notly. When I see her, I'll tell her, I said, Dorita, stop using your walking stick. Because today I said, don't use your forefinger for pointing. Because it's wrong. It's pointing there, and these three are pointing back at you. So you rather wink to indicate something that you want to indicate to us. Yes? So that's a new lesson. Right, as we go on. Again, King Uzziah was blind. I'm not accusing him. But because he didn't see what Isaiah saw when he died. He didn't see the glory of God. Are you also seeing the glory of God around you? Or it has become part of the creation? God created all that we see by the command of his voice. I was going over the tree, the prayer tree in our church, seeing the prayers that you put on there. You know what surprised me? There's a prayer there thanking the Big Bang. We thank God for the Big Bang that we have the world. Wow. Now, that prayer need to be corrected. This world was not created by Big Bang. It was created by God's glory. When he spoke, things happened. God's glory is always around us. His holiness is around us. But we miss it sometimes. God's glory is beautiful. God's holiness is beautiful. I want to repeat again. God's glory is beautiful. God's holiness is beautiful. But we miss the beauty. Because we've got a different agenda. Let's follow God's agenda of holiness. He said, be holy, for I am holy. That's God's agenda. This is all what it is about holiness. If you follow God's agenda, you cannot miss what holiness is all about. In verse 4, it says, the voices, when they sounded, the doorsteps and the threshold shook the temple because it was filled with smoke. Folks, with that experience, the holiness of God fills this place. It shakes wherever it is. Everything trembles. In Psalm 29, it talks of the voice of God thundering, powerfully, majestically, breaking cedar trees. Yes, that's the voice of God. When his holiness is around us, these things happen, guys. But we miss it. Then Isaiah goes on to say, who to me? He didn't point a finger at anyone else. He cried. He said, I am ruined. Why is he ruined? If he has been missing all this holiness of God for the rest of his life. Surely, if he had been also missing it, my brother, my sister, you are ruined. Isaiah confessed. He said, I am ruined. If you have been missing this holiness of God, you are ruined. Come and experience the glory of God with us. Isaiah experienced that day when King Uzziah died. Are you also experiencing the holiness of God today? If you're not, look around you. The person sitting next to you is God's holiness. Because he created the person sitting next to you in his own image. Isn't that God's holiness? Sometimes we miss these things because they are day-to-day things. So it doesn't click in our minds. Because we are used to it. Woe to you You are ruined. So says Isaiah. Imagine this man of God. He has been doing God's work. But on that day, he acknowledged what he was missing. God removed the veil that one was on his eye. That veil was not removed on Isaiah's face. Tough for Isaiah. But for you, the veil today has been removed. See the glory of God. There's a father who went to church with his young little boy. And after church, as they were driving home, the little boy said, the father was driving, so he nudged his father on the shoulder. He said, "Dad, that was a waste of money, isn't it?" Because he had put a pound in the offering. So he said, I lost my pound. That was a waste of money. And the father said, "Son, it wasn't a waste of money. You don't know what you are missing. God's presence was before us." The little boy was looking at how the preacher presented the sermon, forgetting that the presence of God's holiness was in that place. So the father said, "It wasn't a waste of money. God's presence was around there." Then, to finish, Isaiah says, "The seraphim flew to me with a live coal and put on his lips." Because he said in his own words, "I live among people of dirty lips." So, when that coal touched his mouth, his sins were atoned. Isn't that beautiful? This morning, the Lord is sending the Lord Jesus right now with that burning coal from the altar to touch your lips, because you live among people of dirty lips. He wants to atone those sins that no one else can atone, only Jesus. This Jesus whom I am praying and asking God to send in your life is the one who can take your sins away. Your sins will be taken away. God is a gracious God. He came to Moses. He came to Isaiah. He came to Jacob. But this morning, this God is coming to you through Jesus. Are you receiving him? Are you going to miss the holiness of God? I beg to differ with you. Don't miss this holiness, because God chose this day for you and me to understand what it means about his holiness. Next time when you look around you, see God's holiness filling the whole place. In the middle of it all, Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Let's pray together.